thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wole, and I'm here with my homies, Will T and Ray Jeezy. We practice social distancing. They're not in the studio, but they're over the phone. What's going on, fellas?
Okay. For real.
I know it's difficult. We don't have everybody in the studio. So no Will. Will, what's good?
Yeah, I'm good. Is he driving?
I don't know. Is that Ray?
Oh, me?
Is that you driving? Are you driving?
Yeah, you're gonna kill everybody. Thank you, though.
You can hear the background, that's why.
I can't hear. That's what I'm saying. I can't hear.
Oh, you can't hear? Can you hear now?
He said he can't hear. I can hear fine.
Okay, Will T, can you hear now? Can you hear?
Nah, I can't hear. It's like a bunch of wind.
I know.
A bunch of background noise. I can't hear.
Okay, can you hear me?
Okay, hold on.
Hey, this is live radio, folks. Work with us.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, that's better.
Oh, can you hear? Will T, you can hear?
Yeah, I can hear.
All right,
perfectly,
cool, man.
Now.
Great. We great, man. We great.
Will T, I'm great, man.
Hey, how y'all surviving with coronavirus, man? How y'all surviving right now, man?
I'm doing great. Nothing like that, man.
Yeah, I'm blessed, man. Definitely a lot of changes, but still blessed.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
I love it. Here's what we have on tap. The Washington Redskins offseason moves, including the Skins trading Quentin Dunbar to the Seattle Seahawks for a fifth-round pick, and the Skins trading for Carolina Panthers quarterback Kyle Allen. At 8:20, we'll talk about Tom Brady going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. At 8:30, other NFL offseason moves. At 8:40, the impact of not having March Madness because of the coronavirus finally. At 8:50, we'll talk about Canelo, Triple G, 3. But first, the Skins traded. Well, real quick, before we get into all that, Will T brought it to my attention. I heard about it, too, as well. Trent Williams, and all the Trent Williams saga. His agent, his representative, and Trent, they're demanding for a trade, saying the Skins are a foul play. Your thoughts about that real quick.
I think the rubber's starting to meet the road. You know, if the reports are true, and Trent Williams literally had a five-minute conversation with Ron Rivera, a five-minute meeting when he came to the park, to the headquarters, to the training facility. And, you know, there really hasn't been a lot of effort on the team, on the organization side, to try to trade Trent Williams. You have to decide, do you want to go through another year of the, you know, the saga with Trent Williams, or do you just cut your losses and you let him go? We saw what happened with Cam Newton today. You know, if you want for the player, I think it's best for you to cut ways and let him go.
Ray, your thoughts?
Well, I just want to say the opportunities that are going to be presented to Trent once he finally is able to be released, because I think that's the right move to release him. This man gave his heart and soul to the organization, and it doesn't seem like he received the same every time. Opportunity is going to be there for him to be endless. And at the top of that list, I believe it's Tampa Bay. But of course, you know, they just had, and according to what I heard today, Tampa definitely is interested, but they're not really willing to give up much. And also, I heard that they were willing to pay $20 million. I'm in Atlanta, and I'll be willing to sign for this. Well, I think he still has at least 2 good years left in him, considering that he had all his season. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that, in spite of the injury concern, I believe that Trent has a lot of football left, and the Redskins owe that team to let him go. And also, just to move forward with the new regime. Well, I'm going to get into my thoughts after what Ron Rivera is doing now, but I just feel as though he's done enough for his nation to receive that respect.
No, I mean, it's hard because I'm a big fan. I'm a big Trent Williams fan in terms of, you know, this team, and I've always backed Trent Williams. But I got to say, like, if Trent really wants to get traded, You know what I mean? Like, the Skins gave him an opportunity to go look for a fair trade. I mean, that's what reported. You know, when your dollar sign, you're asking for $20 million. And so you already know your worth. Like, you're asking for $20 million, you should know your worth. Your worth is pretty high, and you got to find a partner. I'm not even saying a first round pick, but a team that can get you a second round pick and is going to offer that, you know, offer that $20 million. The issue is that teams don't want to offer him the 20 and give up a second round pick. You know what I mean? So, like, Trent has kind of put himself in the corner, like, with that $20 million. You know, him wanting $20 million. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it is. I mean, I'm with y'all. Like, you know, Trent has done a lot for the organization, but at the same time, like, this organization got to look out for themselves too.
That's your opinion, right?
Yeah, it's my opinion. it's my opinion. That's all. But that's
because,
go ahead, Ray. Go ahead.
Because if the report of what Bruce did last year are true, really minimized the man's cancer condition, then nah, man, I think that you should grant him his release. And looking out for the organization, how much can you look out for yourself? I just think that with a new regime now and looking at a change in culture, you might as well just go ahead and make that move in order to further that process along and changing the culture. That's it. But I already said that in my case, so it is what it is because we can move on.
Let's move on. All right, the Skins traded Quentin Dunbar to the Seahawks for a fifth-round pick. Your thoughts on that trade?
My thoughts are the Skins, Seattle Seahawks got over on the Skins. They're getting a guy who is a quality starting corner on a below market contract for a fifth round pick. This reeks of Washington, you know, when they're motivated and they want to get rid of a player, they're able to find the market for them. I think this is a great deal for Seattle. Washington, not so much. But then again, as Ray alluded to earlier, if you're starting, you know, if you have a new regime and you want to start to get things off the ground running and get your culture established and to have a guy who's a malcontent, a lot of them, you don't want that. You want to get a fresh start. So, I think it was the right move to make for Washington, but Seattle got to stay, in my opinion.
But, I mean, so what do you think he's...
I can't
I was going to say, like, what do you think he's worth on the market? Because Slay, who's way better than Dunbar, only got you a second-round pick. So what do you think Quentin Dunbar is? Because Slay is way better than Dunbar. Like, Slay is way better than Dunbar.
He is, but taking into consideration his contract,
mm-hmm.
And you only got a fifth round pick. Now, granted, you'll have to give him an extension, but mm-hmm. You know, if we're just looking at, you know, where he is on the trajectory of his level of play,
mm-hmm.
The below market contract, and then you only, if you see Seattle, you only give him a fifth round pick. I think it's a really good deal. Me personally, if I was Washington, possibly a fourth.
Yeah, that's fair. A fourth is fair. I just have an it, like, for me, it's like the dude, like, we talk about availability. He gets hurt, you know, the last couple of seasons as a starter, he's missed half of the football season. And so when you put that in play with, again, he's a good cornerback. I feel like it's a great fit for Seattle. I think I'm with you, Will. If he stays healthy, Seattle got a steal. But if you look at track record in terms of his market, if you're not available, and also, I mean, I just mentioned the market in terms of the other cornerbacks who got traded, who only wore in the second round pick. I feel like the fourth round or fifth round pick is pretty fair in terms of how we assess Quentin Dunbar. We look at availability as well. Or I thought you wanted to say something. This is hard to do stuff over the phone. Ray, you still quiet?
Who are you looking for? About me?
I was waiting for you, but you ain't gonna say nothing. I'm going to move on.
You might have to pull
an old school joint.
I'm not his name, but a guy who used to host the show.
I didn't say
it. What you think about me going fully over you, Ray? Because I really don't know.
Go ahead. You got to say
is,
you don't got to say them. You don't want to.
I don't
want
to say his name, but I want to ask you guys.
Let's go ahead.
Is there a difference between, I'll ask you this first. It's a two-part question. So is there a difference between a change of course and rebuild? And don't you think that this is a change of culture versus a rebuild? Because Kendall Fuller to me doesn't come to a, doesn't come back to organization who's simply trying to rebuild when he is already on that Super Bowl winning team and could possibly resign. Mm-hmm. Now, money may not be the same, but I think he would get close to 40 million. So, mm-hmm. I feel as though right now, no matter what, they were getting in return the stance for putting them out, they were going to get killed because they are trying to change the culture. What do you guys think?
No, I'm with you, Ray. I think they are trying to change the culture. I think both of you got. I mean, both of you two said pretty much the same thing in terms of if you got individuals who don't want to be here or be with the team, then you got to get rid of them. You know what I'm saying? Like Ron Rivera wasn't with the old. He wasn't, you know, part of the old regime. You know what I mean? In terms of Bruce Allen and his cast of characters. So this is his team basically, and he has control of this ship. So he's not looking at guys who don't want to be here. He's looking at guys if you want to be here, you want to work hard, and you want to compete. That's all he's looking for. If you don't want to be here, then you know obviously he doesn't want you here.
Yeah, I can agree more, and it's important to establish a brand new culture, especially considering the history of the recent history of this organization. And I'm thinking that anybody who's going to be a carryover from the Bruce Allen era mm-hmm. is going to have to make adjustments. And some are going to be willing, such as a Ryan Kerrigan. I believe he's a high character guy. And that's not saying that Quentin Dunbar wasn't, but I believe that he was always going to have a bad taste in his mouth, just mm-hmm. about the organization as a whole and in general. And a guy like Haskins is not really going to have much of a choice. Mm-hmm. He only experienced 1 year this offseason, so I think he'll be fine.
Yeah.
But clean house as much as possible, and that's why again, I think Trent is in the same boat. But because Trent is a more valuable asset, and that's why they're trading lightly with that. But Quentin Dunbar, to me, he's either going to be great in Seattle, or he's going to be bust. I don't think there's any middle ground for him. We're going into that system where that defense and that coach is well established. I hope that for his sake and his talent level that he fits in well and that he just has a great year next year and getting great years to come. But I think it's even boom and bust.
No, I agree. But I do think that in terms of a fit for a system, I think he's a perfect system because he fits that their cornerback style in terms of long arms, physical cornerback. But so this, you mentioned Ray, the skin signed Kendall Fuller to a 4-year, $40 million contract. With the loss of Quentin Dunbar, what do you expect? Do you expect this team to replace him or maybe just have Kendall Fuller slide into the outside rather than the nickel cornerback?
You asking me first?
Oh, yeah, anybody. Y'all can just go ahead and run with it. I don't even care.
Wait, go ahead.
See, the thing about Kendall Fuller is, and you correct me if I'm wrong, because obviously you're a Kings fan. You do not want him to be traded. But you sort of okay with Alex Smith deal, which, you know, look how that turned out. Anyway, I think Kendall Fuller is versatile. I really do. I really think that he can fill multiple voids as a defensive back. But correct me if I'm wrong, you guys are playing, what, 4-3 on the round there?
Yeah, 4-3. Jack Del Rio and Ron Rivera, 4-3.
Yeah, and again, these guys, both of them, their track records are pretty good as far as coach defense and turning around. And turning around, I want to say, entire teams. I'm speaking more about this Rivera than I am Jack Del Rio, but I think he'll fit in fine. I think that, again, no matter what position you put him in, he's talented enough to shine. So, is he a replacement for Quentin Dunbar? I would say so. Yeah, I think that was the initial writing on the wall. Is, you know.
Did we lose Ray? Hello? Did we lose Ray?
Ray, I'm here. Oh. I didn't hear Ray.
Yeah, we lost Ray? I think we may have lost Ray. So, Will T, you want to pick up on anything Ray wanted to say, or we can move on to the next joint?
No, look, I think, just to piggyback off of Ray's comment, you know, Kendall Fuller didn't seem, you know, when he was initially traded for Alex McCaffrey, it seemed as if he didn't want to leave the D.C. area. He went to Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
He had some local ties to this area. And I even believe that this may have been his favorite team growing up, if I'm not mistaken.
No, you're right. You're right.
So for him to leave a Super Bowl-winning organization and come back to Washington, that kind of speaks to, you know, just how much he wanted to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, maybe it kind of speaks to, you know, his belief that, all right, the guy at the top, Bruce Allen, is no longer here, so maybe things are a little bit different this time around.
Yeah.
You know, because from what I heard, there was some hurt feelings from his side.
Of course.
You know, when he was traded. Mm-hmm. So for him to say, I want to come here, and also, look, 4 years, $40 million also helps a lot.
Oh, you know it. Come on, man. It's the bag, bro. The bag. You always got to love the bag, man. All right, let's go real quick to Kyle.
Yeah, it should be interesting, but but for the amount of money they're going to pay him, I don't think he's going to go back to being strictly a slot corner.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because, there's like I've been campaigning to get, like, you know, Bashaud Breeland back in town with his team. There's rumored that he would come back. But, you know, for that dollar amount, it's like you're trying him out to be like a versatile cornerback, like one of the better cornerbacks in the league, right? You would think, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's what I would think.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we mentioned like Kyle Allen in the beginning of the show. The Skins traded their fifth round pick to get Kyle Allen. So they pretty much swamped picks with the trade with Dunbar. Do you think that Kyle Allen will be comp for Dwayne Haskins for that job?
Well, I mean, if they had waited a couple more hours, they could have had a guy who would be comp for Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't think they want it. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, they believe in Dwayne. I think they knew that Cam was getting out of there. I believe they believed in Dwayne by getting Kyle Allen.
I think it's a couple of things that play into this. One, Ron Rivera and Scott Turner are coaches of Kyle Allen in Carolina, so they have an understanding of his skill set, and also they are confident in his skill set. That's one. Two, this clearly states to me that Alex Smith isn't ready to come back. They don't believe Alex Smith is ready to come back.
Very good point. Mm-hmm.
At any point. And three, they are super confident. I'm not going to say super confident, but they're willing to put the future, at least next season, put the franchise in the hands of Dwayne Haskins, and they feel confident with him going forward next season as the starting quarterback.
Yeah. I think so, too. I'm with you. I think they believe in Dwayne going in next season. And like you said, that if something does go wrong, they have a guy that is very, very familiar with their system. And they are familiar with him. And he showed, you know, some promise last season in terms of, you know, once he got the opportunity to start to win some football games, you know, the league figures you out. But he did show that he's an adequate backup, a guy that can win games if something goes wrong. So, yeah, I'm with you, OT. I think that they got a guy, to me, that doesn't intimidate Haskins. So he's going into the season believing that he's the starter. It's not like, you know, years ago when the team drafted Kirk Cousins and they had drafted Robert Griffin III, and Griffin looked behind his shoulder and saw a young quarterback that people thought could be a starter in this league. In this situation, it's a little bit different. So
I totally agree. And plus, he's also, since he's familiar with the offense, if there's a learning curve, well, there will probably be a learning curve for Dwayne Haskins. You're better to have one of your teammates with you who can give you the perspective of having that view of the field opposed to you having to work with your coach.
All right, man. I'm going to try to get Ray back. I'm about to go to break. That's a good point, though, Will T. Hey, Tom Brady is now a Buccaneer. We'll discuss this after break. You listen to Urban Sports Team.
Baby.
You dig?
Deuces.
My man.
I got loyalty inside my DNA. Quarter peace, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, is born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve.
Yeah, that's him again. The sound, the engine in his Lichtenberg. You see fireworks and carpet tire skirt the boulevard. I know how you work. I know just who you are. See, use a. Put your arm on trolley, switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch. Heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist. Burn on side a jellyfish. I gauge. See my better people.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole, Will T. We're going to wait. We're still waiting on Ray Jeezy. Ray Jeezy's had technical difficulties calling in. You know, social distancing, man. This is a big thing right now going on. All right, Will T. Tom Brady is now a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. It's been reported that he signed a two-year contract worth $50 million guaranteed dollars, man. Dude got the bag. Your thoughts on that deal?
A hell of a deal for a 43-year-old quarterback.
I know, right?
Like
I know.
Two, I think Tom, of all the options that were available to Tom Brady, I think he put himself in the best position to at least go to the NFC Championship over the next 2 years with a coach who is very collaborative and quarterback-friendly in Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians, for those who may not be familiar with Bruce Arians, has worked with Ben Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning, and Andrew Luck, and all three of them raved about him.
Uh-huh.
That's one. Two, just the weapons that he has in Tampa is something that he hasn't had in New England in a while, uh-huh. Right? He has Mike Evans. He has Chris Godwin as great at tight end, and he also has O.J. Howard at tight end. And we know just from his time in the game and how much Tom Brady really cut large tight ends. This is what the middle of the field. And three, I mean, it's a tax-free state. So, from a state tax perspective. So he'll be able to see a lot of the money that he makes.
Yeah.
And it's Tampa Bay. Tampa isn't a terrible place to live.
You said you said it's not a terrible place to live?
Yeah, it's not a terrible place to live.
See, I've never been to Tampa, man. You know,
so he's winning all the way around.
He's winning on the field. Bruce Allen would say that he's winning off the field. To me, when you look into the Tom Brady situation, you mentioned everything, you know, in terms of the weapons they have, but he's 43 years old. You know what I mean? Do you think he's going to be like that much better than Jameis? I mean, I know he's great. He's Tom. He's one. He's like the GOAT of quarterbacks right now. But at the same time, he's 43.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, he's 43. But, you know, mentally, the way he sees the field, that will be something that, you know, the way he sees the field, one, and two, let's be honest, I really don't see Tom Brady throwing 30 interceptions.
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah.
And if Jameis Winston had only thrown half of those, let's say he throws 30 touchdowns and 15 interceptions opposed to 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And out of those 15 interceptions, maybe only three of them or two of them are returned for a pick six.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa is realistically a 10-win or 11-win team.
This is true.
Mm-hmm. If Jameis, and that defense with Todd Bowles, come on, man. I think all around he put himself in a pretty good position.
So, why do you think it went wrong with him in New England for that, you know, trying to bring him back in New England? What do you think went wrong?
Well, if you listen to the reports, one of the things that went wrong was around 2017 when the 49ers called about
Jimmy G,
you know, trading for Tom. Yeah. No, initially, you know, John Lynch called and was joking and said, oh, what do you want for Brady? And Bill Belichick seen as if he was willing to make that trade. But, you know, if you believe the reports.
Yeah, go ahead, Will. Go ahead.
But I think what went wrong is the Patriot way. You know, he's 43 years old. He's won the most accomplished quarterback in NFL history, the winningest quarterback in NFL history from a Super Bowl perspective. He's at the point where he just wants to have fun, going to work. You know, winning could be fun, but the monotonous process that he probably has to go through doing things the Patriot way just doesn't seem fun. And it probably took a toll on him after 20 years on the team.
Yeah, I kind of feel like in their situation too, though, it's like, obviously, it's like, you know, I feel like, you know, we had two button heads. You have Bill Belichick, who's used to doing things a certain way, right? He usually gets rid of players who play at a high level when it's the right time. He got rid of, like, Ty Law, Richard Seymour. Like, he gets rid of players at the right time. And I know everybody, it's Tom Brady, he's the GOAT, this, that, and the other, but he's 43. And at the time, like, you know, he wanted to keep Jimmy G, right? He wanted to keep Jimmy G. But it was like, all right, that was ruffling Tom Brady's feathers. So I think that kind of, to me, was like, all right, that's when I knew that these two dudes eventually were going to break up.
Yeah.
Did you have that feeling back in the day? Like, did you have that feeling, like, when you heard those reports about, like, he wanted Jimmy G, Tom Brady fell in a certain way. Then you talked, they were talking about his trainer. Tom Brady's trainer couldn't fly on the plane with him anymore. Didn't you feel like this was going to happen sooner, though?
I didn't, and here's why. I know Robert Kraft's love for Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
He's always stated that Tom Brady has earned the right to go out when he wants to go out, when he wants to leave New England. He said he will honor that promise to him. With them not adding the ability to franchise him in his last contract,
mm-hmm.
I knew at that point, I was just like, yo, he's done.
Yeah, he's done, yeah. I could tell. Hey, Ray, you back? Did I hear Ray?
Yeah, I'm back.
I thought so, man. I thought I heard it. Oh, we about to go to break, man. We're going to talk about Gurley. Hey, Gurley is now back in Georgia. We'll discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We'll see you guys.
That's
my man. You dig? I said, yeah, you dig. Right?
Terrible.
Yeah. Welcome to Atlanta's hammers and bows. Back to the Mackin' and the clothes. Adolescent packing a knock on the door.
Who is it?
I would happen to know the one with the flow.
Who did it?
It was me, I suppose. JD in the rolls and looters in the cut supreme. Skating down old Nat, tucked and lean. Spleen. As a matter of fact, I the team. No blood on the sneaks, gotta keep it so my kicks is clean. I get the cream, cops see me flick my beans. I'm allergic to doc prescribed and a histamine. Oink, oink, pig, pig, do away with the pork. Only silverware I need is a steak knife and a fork. Did you forget your manners? I'm Bruce with banners. Ludacris, Johnny Rockets when I the cannon. The woolly mammoth saber tooth. Bite your tongue. I won't stop until I'm rich as the whites will come. I pull up in a black Lotus. Your plaques are bogus, so I strip them off.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Ooh, excuse me. With myself, Wole, Will T. Ray Jeezy is back. No more technical difficulties, man. What's going on? Hey, Ray, I want to start with my man Ray. So, Ray, the Rams released Todd Gurley. And Ray's Falcons, the Dirty Birds, picked them up. Thoughts on the signing, my man?
You know what? I'm excited, but I'm also cautious because we need to see what Gurley still has left in him. I'm wondering how playing indoors is going to make a difference. Because if you remember, before the Rams moved, he was just as good as he was their first year back in L.A. And I'm wondering if he can regain some of that magic that he had. Now, is it filling a void for the Falcons? Of course it is. Because right now, I believe Edo Smith was the number one running back on our depth chart. So Atlanta needed a running back. I'm sure they're going to draft a running back. But overall, me as an Atlanta fan, offense is never our biggest issue. It's, you know, defense and defensively what we're going to do. But, you know, that's another story. Specific to Gurley, it's going to be interesting to see how Dirk Cutter is going to use him. Because, for one, when Atlanta had a really good backfield with Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman, there were times where I felt as though they still could have ran the ball more. So it depends on also how you use Gurley. I mean, obviously, Gurley catching the ball. To me, he's a good blocking running back. So are you going to put him in a position to succeed? Sean McVay, as you saw here in Washington, is an offensive genius. So Dirk Cutter can be good. He had some great years with the Falcons before. But, you know, since he's returned and also during his stint in Tampa, I think that he also has something to prove, just like Gurley does. So time will tell if it's a good sign-up. But for me, it's a very low-risk, high-reward type of situation.
I guess my only question is, you know, you had Devontae Freeman. You released him because of his injuries, and now you bring in Todd Gurley. I know that's a relatively there isn't a lot of risk in the signing, but you bring in Todd Gurley with the expectation for him to, like, I guess, be the bell cow running back for you to, you know, touch the ball, what, 250, 300 times, you know, this season? No, I mean, that's running the ball and catching it out of backfield. You know, that's my estimate. Yeah. You know, that mm-hmm. to me, that just seems, it's kind of head-scratching.
No, I mean, it's
you know, with the lack of running game you had last year, and then the trouble, you know, the lack of running game you had because of the injury to Devontae Freeman, and then you bring in another injured running back. You know, I struggle to understand the rationale.
Well, it's going to be interesting in terms of seeing how much they use him. He's a guy that I feel like we make this joke about in terms of sports, low management. But he's going to have to. They're going to need to do that with Gurley. But if you get when you get a fresh Gurley, you see how dynamic he is. I think, you know, it's worth the risk when you got a talent like Todd Gurley. You saw, you know, what the Rams offense looked like when folks knew that Todd Gurley wasn't, you know, going to play. I mean, obviously they had a good stint with Anderson for a little bit, but once the Super Bowl hit, and after that, that offense was totally different without Todd Gurley. So, if you can rest him up, you know, you team him up with Julio Jones, who to me is the best wide receiver in the game. You have in Ridley in terms of his secondary option. There's putting a lot. It's less pressure on Todd Gurley compared to the squad he had in St. With the L.A. Rams. To be honest with you,
absolutely, it's gonna be harder to triple Julio Jones when you have a threat.
Yeah.
Like Gurley coming out the backfield, catching the ball and running the ball. So it's a good situation. But, you know, Matt Ryan still has to do his part because the offense, I mean, if the pass game is clicking, it's going to be much easier to run Todd Gurley. It's going to make his life a lot easier. Also, what are you going to do on the offensive line? Are you going to make some changes there? Because that's a necessary move. But this last point here with bringing Gurley in, I talked about this with Washington. You're trying to build a culture that is different from the one over the last two seasons where they basically had like a Super Bowl hangover, and they haven't done too well. No, I'm not even close to being a playoff team last year. So Todd Gurley is a winner, and I think that it's a great signing. It's just that, again, he has a lot to show because of just this past season and also in the Super Bowl the previous year. He hasn't seemed like himself, and I know we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of questions, but I think it's risk. I mean, I think it's worth the risk. Devontae Freeman, Will, by the way, does not compare to Todd Gurley. Like, come on, man. Devontae Freeman's best days are behind him at that. As you saw him on the ball, he was healthy.
I'm not saying that Devontae Freeman is on the level of Todd Gurley. What I said was I failed to understand the rationale of getting rid of one injured quarterback running back to bring in another running back that's had injury issues. That's what I said.
Yeah, but Devontae Freeman wasn't let go because of the injury issues, though. But that doesn't matter. There ain't no point arguing over that. But he'll be all right in Detroit, I guess. We'll see. But he ain't my problem no more. You don't say, hey, listen, the Dirty Bird is back. Just know that. Jamal Anderson, the dance is coming back. Todd Gurley's going to bring him back.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm saying? I just need one Super Bowl. And then I wouldn't even care about Todd Gurley or anybody else. So.
Hey,
thank you, Will.
Oh, man. Hey, Cam Newton was released by the Carolina Panthers. We talked about it a little bit earlier. Where do you think Cam will head? Will go?
All right. I'll go ahead, Will.
No, go ahead, Rex. Go ahead. I ended the last.
You guys are so so proper and so cordial, man. I appreciate it. Go ahead, whoever.
I know Wilty's very nice, very nice today, man. Like an usher. The question was thrown out there. I'm gonna ask Will because Will definitely represents the culture. Is Cam not being treated fairly because of his race right now?
Oh, I feel like he isn't.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Totally agree.
No, here, look, let's think about it, right? You have a former league MVP, former number one overall pick, who has a cannon forearm. Now, he does have some accuracy issues.
Yeah.
Who's shown that he can
carry a squad
whenever there's a lack of talent around. Yeah, he can carry a team whenever there's a lack of talent on that offense. He can make up for some of the errors, his ability to extend a play and also to use his legs to get outside of the pocket. And no one will trade for him and give him an opportunity to be a start quarterback. I also say, with the caveat to that is, if you bring him in, you will have to kind of build the offense around him.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. Two, I don't necessarily, from all reports, Cam Newton isn't a problem in your locker room, but you have to do you want that kind of attention that Cam Newton brings, with him? And it's not a bad thing, but there's just a lot of media scrutiny around Cam Newton because he's a popular guy. Do you want that inside your building in your locker room? But, that's the other flip side of it. But to answer your question directly, Ray, you're getting shafted because of color.
All right. Excuse me. To add a little bit more to that, let's make a comparison really quick, guys, and we'll move on, I promise.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck had worse injuries, right?
Yeah.
His future was in doubt. I'm sorry. His future was in doubt, but yet, it was a well-known fact that when Andrew Luck came back, he was going to have his spot.
Yeah, definitely.
Cam Newton didn't get that same respect. I wonder why. Now, is it that definitive that Andrew Luck is way more talented than Cam Newton? I don't know. Cam Newton went to a Super Bowl. He led a team to 15-1. Yeah. They both were number one overall picks. But I feel as though Cam was treated unfairly. However, he's going to have to prove himself. He's obviously right now considered damaged good. He's going to have to show that he's not. That he's not that guy that is injury prone. He can stay on the field, and he also can regain his accuracy because that's a big question, as well as his arm strength. But Cam is a big dude, man. He should get an opportunity. The problem is, right now, I can't really think of too many teams outside of maybe Chicago that may be looking for a starting quarterback.
Well, I think the Chargers, and the Chargers looking for a quarterback who doesn't throw, in terms of stats, who don't throw a lot of picks. And I think Cam kind of fits that role in terms of what he does with the football because he's a mobile, and they want a mobile quarterback.
I'll even go a step further. I don't necessarily think John Gruden is sold on
Derek Carr.
Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm. It's possible.
So there's definitely that opportunity.
Yeah, there's
definitely that opportunity there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, if all things considered, if there isn't a starting spot for him, I think the perfect place for him would be Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think I've heard that. I think Pittsburgh would be a good spot. I'm with you. I want to go back to that race car thing. No, I'm a big Phillip Rivers fan, but I'm like, if you look at resumes, to be real, Cam's an MVP. Like you mentioned, first round pick, and he's been to the Super Bowl, carried the team to the Super Bowl. As much as I like Rivers in terms of what he does in stats and his aggression, his moxie, Cam is not 40-something years old. How come like the Colts didn't make a play Cam? Like how come that wasn't a thing, a sexy thing? You know what I'm saying? Like that's why I feel like Cam's situation is kind of it's odd to me. Like no team is like was knocking on the door for Cam Newton. Like no team, like Chicago and in that division. Like, we know Mitchell Trubisky is garbage. Like, you wouldn't, when you knew Cam was going to be out there on the market, you weren't going to fiend for Cam, knowing you had that kind of defense. There are, like, so many teams that you added Cam Newton, and he comes in healthy. You're going to win a lot of football games. That's, like, a guarantee. Because all the dude does is win when he's on the field.
Will T. Fettig, Pittsburgh will be a good situation. I actually mentioned that earlier to somebody, so I like that situation for him. So maybe a change would be good. But also, what about just letting him fight for a starting spot with Bridgewater? Why not?
That too.
What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, that too. I mean, I think everybody wants to give Teddy a chance, and I think Teddy does deserve a chance. But we're talking about Cam Newton, man. Like, that's what I'm with y'all. It's like, this dude deserves more respect. Like, his resume speaks for itself.
Yeah.
As a rookie, he came in this league. Everybody think he can throw the ball like that. And I think he threw for like 3,000 yards as a rookie, or maybe more than that. So, I mean, and put up numbers with Steve Smith.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, at the time he had the highest, the most yards ever thrown for by a rookie quarterback.
I believe so too.
Time,
I think you're right. You're right. I'm just saying his resume speaks for itself. All he does is, I mean, he wins games. You know, when you get a healthy Cam Newton, he wins games and he plays at a high level. Like, and so both of y'all made the point, like, he carries his team. So how come that type of dude can't get a job? Like, that don't make any sense to me. Like, people should be knocking at the door. Cam Newton's available. Oh, we trying to get Cam. It shouldn't be like, oh, Cam can't find a spot. That don't make any sense.
It doesn't to me. I mean, for his career, Cam Newton's 59.6% completion rate. The guy has 182 touchdowns to 108 interceptions. You know, to me, you know, he's only 30 years old. He still have at least 6 or 7 years of good football left in him, depending on if he wants to change his style of play.
I agree. I totally agree. Let's go to like the Houston Texans trade real quick before we go to break. Texans traded the DeAndre Hopkins and their 4th-round pick to the Arizona Cardinals for running back David Johnson. Arizona's 2nd-round pick and Arizona's 2021 4th-round pick. Thoughts on that trade?
Bill O'Brien is letting the GM title go to his head. That's what I think. And pretty soon he's going to lose both of those titles, GM and coach.
Yeah.
If he keeps making trades like this.
How you lose? How you trade DeAndre Hopkins though? For real, like real talk. Like how do you trade? Like arguably, I know I was talking about Julio, but a dude that makes every quarterback look good. How do you trade that type of talent?
There must have been something there that was irreconcilable. You know, I'm sitting here racking my brain trying to think of a similar situation where someone gets traded unexpectedly, and it's like, wow, you let him go for what? I have something on the tip of my tongue. If it comes to me, I will definitely say it. However, Bill O'Brien, though, in my opinion, because of his success as a head coach, I think he's earned the right to kind of make some moves. I know that they have the utmost confidence in Deshaun Watson. You have a decent receiving core without DeAndre Hopkins. Obviously, he's a great receiver, and he's a huge upgrade for the Cardinals. Man, that's going to be fun if you know, hopefully Kyler can get him the ball. But Bill O'Brien, I think his track record, we have to look at it, you know. Even if this doesn't work out, I don't think that dooms him. You know, I just feel like they must have come to a point where Bill O'Brien felt as though they could no longer coexist. And as a result, they said, all right, we're going to let him walk. It happened. You know, I don't think that you can compare this to maybe the Randy Moss situation in Minnesota, but sometimes you do have to let talent go if you can't work it out. And DeAndre Hopkins is not Randy Moss. We can all agree on that. But Randy Moss, you know, would have loved to be a career Viking, but it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Because of some of the things he brought to the table. I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but I'm guessing that it wasn't able to be rectified or worked out. So, huge game for the Cardinals going into a tough division. You're going to need a receiver like that. But also, that's another point, is Houston is in a division that's winnable with or without DeAndre Hopkins. So I don't think Bill O'Brien is taking that big of a gamble by sending his star receiver away. But obviously, it was a head-scratcher to some degree.
All right, it's time to go to break. We'll talk about, there's no March Madness this season. This hurts my feelings. Will T, you know my tradition. You know my tradition. This hurts my soul. We'll discuss the impact of this after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
My ages.
You dig?
Dude.
has changed. And there you are. You're running for your life. You're a shooting star. And all the years, no one knows just how hard you work. But now it shows.
Fisher Davis right to the court. No good. And Northwestern has won.
Wisconsin, they have knocked out the defending national champions. The 2-seed Duke Blue Devils are out.
The time has changed and the road is long.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Will T, Ray Jeezy. Listen to One Shining Moment. Y'all know that's my song. That's my jam. All right. So due to the coronavirus, there is no March Madness this year. I guess the Georgetown got lucky. That's good for Patrick. That's good for Patrick Ewing. Are some of the major impacts? What are some of the major impacts of not having the tournament this year?
Increased productivity at work. That first weekend.
Folks teleworking
that first,
anyway,
that
man.
Thursday and Friday. No, I mean, people are working from home, yeah. You know. That's one. Two, I don't know. I always thought of, I know that most people think of the Masters as the unofficial start to the spring.
Mm-hmm.
But me, I think of March Madness as the unofficial start to the spring for me. You know, it's the first major sporting event when spring starts.
Ray?
So, and, you know, so three.
Sorry, Will. Go ahead, Will. Sorry.
No, go ahead. No. Go, Ray. Wally clearly wants
you
to talk.
No. I hate you, bro. Because you took such a break.
I know, man. You know what it is. The people
need
that
break,
the people
man.
Need Ray.
I didn't even tell.
Here's the thing. You have to think about the seniors first. Just imagine you have all season plan on making one last run, you know, getting that last moment in your college jersey, and then all of a sudden, and you played there 4 years,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden it gets canceled. I mean, it's unfathomable that many, you know, collegiate athletes, their careers ended. Bigger than just March Madness, their careers ended without them even having a chance to, you know, kind of write their own ending of their story. It just sucks, man. You think about that first, and then you think about, you know, just the amount of money that's being lost. You know, March Madness is arguably the biggest sporting event in this country. Maybe second behind the Super Bowl, but it's that big. I mean, games going on all over the country, and
preach.
There's no games being played, not even without fans. I mean, it's just, I just can't wrap my mind around it. You know, even though, you know, it's obvious it's not going to happen. But still, it's amazing. And the one reason why I feel like college athletes shouldn't feel too bad is because obviously it's for their health. But secondly, even the Olympics is postponed.
Mm-hmm.
The Olympics, I mean, that's a global event. So you know this is a serious situation with this virus, and the games had to be stopped. But, you know, your heart still aches for these seniors, these athletes who played 4 years. You know, you don't feel too bad for the one and done because they were going to leave anyway. Or the guys who are leaving early. But for those who, you know, like I said, man, stuck it out, you know, especially the women college athletes, man, it really sucks for them. It's just no other situation, you know, that you could think of that could be worse than them having their careers ended without them even having a chance to step on the floor.
Let me ask you guys this. Would you have preferred that there was March Madness without crowds? Because to me, you know, like, not having a crowd just wouldn't have...
It would suck.
It wouldn't have been that exciting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then it wouldn't have given... It kind of wouldn't have given either team that boost or advantage they needed, you know, when they're down
mm-hmm.
to make a comeback.
No, I think... I'm with you, Will. I mean, I think it would suck. To Ray's point, though, too, who I really felt sorry for, in terms of all that included, is just that... Like that kid who needed March Madness to kind of rise their stock, right? Or even that senior who needed a big game so they can get into the next level. There's so many athletes who took advantage of March Madness of the NCAA tournament. Like Dwayne Wade is a prime example. If Dwayne Wade never had that run, he would never have been a lottery pick. You know what I mean? Like that propelled Dwayne Wade into a lottery pick. There are so many players in college that make a name for themselves. C.J. McCollum was a dude that people knew about, but once he put it on the scene against Duke, then it put him to a next level. Eric Maynor from VCU. There are so many players that make their name in the tournament that you don't get to see on an everyday basis, that once they play and once they do that, forget college. They put their they're able to solidify a bag to take care of their families for years to come. Like, that's the thing that I kind of feel sorry about. That's the thing I feel sorry about for some of these players.
Oh, yeah. Add Wally Szczerbiak to that list. Yeah. You know, as many players benefited from playing in the tournament, man, and coaches as well. Shaka Smart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Anthony Grant, guys, and their team. Brad Mark Stevens. Hugh, a lot. Yeah, Brad Stevens, of course. Gordon Hayward. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So many. It's just terrible, man. And I guess it's just a great event because many of these guys aren't going to be professionals, but yet they're able to do some amazing things, such as a 16 seed and UMBC upsetting a number one seed at Virginia. So, I mean, it's just stuff that you just can't, you know, find in any other sport. It just sucks, man.
Yeah, and to Will's point, like, they're better off canceling anyway because the crowds, they bring that, you know what I mean? They bring that energy for the players.
Right.
Like, they, you know what I mean? Like, when the underdog is getting beat, when the underdog is beating the, you know, the favorite team, like, then you see the crowds get into it, and the crowds kind of, like, they kind of, basically, they have the favorite team shook. You know what I'm saying? So it's so much involved when you have that, have those, have the crowd in the stands and have all the fans screaming, yelling. You know what I mean? Every pressure shot and people kind of going crazy for it. Like, you need that. That's the whole March Madness experience, for real.
Well, yeah, like Steph Curry against Georgetown.
Real talk. I know you dirty. Yeah, you dirty for it, but it was crazy, though. You dirty. That was crazy. You know what I mean? You're a jerk. I hate you, dog. But yeah, right.
Wally, for real, think about this. You are a diehard Georgetown fan, obviously, but you were loving Steph's performance. Like, you couldn't even fight it. Like, you're like, dang, this dude is that real. That's the beauty of March Madness right there.
It is. You ain't lying, bro. It's so true. So true. All right. Canelo Triple G is happening. We'll discuss this after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
The agent.
You dig?
Come on, man.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray, and myself, Wole. All right, it's going down. It's been reported, or it's supposed to happen, September 12th, Canelo, Triple G. First fight was a draw. Canelo won the second fight. Are you excited for the trilogy?
I'm not. Why not?
He said, I'm not.
Wait, well, tell me why, man. No, I said, why not? I'm curious. Why aren't you excited? Well, because if you've seen Triple G's last two fights, to me, he's just starting to age. Now, I learned my lesson from Manny Pacquiao beating Keith Thurman. I was so confident that just because Manny was old that he couldn't win, I won't bet against Triple G. I'm not saying he can't beat Canelo, but I just feel like Canelo needs to move on to bigger things. He's the biggest star in boxing. Like, this is more so for DAZN than anything. It's not, to me, it's not for the fans. Like, we weren't beating down the doors for this fight. So why do it? That's why Triple G or DAZN signed Triple G, because they're like, we already got Canelo. You want this third fight? It's going to be huge. The first two fights were classic. This one will be too, but Triple G just doesn't seem like the same guy. However, I do expect him to raise his game because it's Canelo Alvarez, and he wants to avenge those previous fights that were both controversial and ending.
So I agree with one of your points. I disagree with the other. The point that I disagree with is that the public wasn't clamoring for this fight. amongst, and you know, I'll put my air quote amongst, I guess, boxing diehards, they want to see this trilogy fight. They, you know, they want to see if Triple G is able to, I guess, turn back the clock, given his last two performances in the ring. There's that aspect, and then there's also the aspect of, you know, these guys really don't personally don't like each other. And usually when you get those type of fighters, when you get fighters with that type of circumstance or the tense feelings, it turns into a pretty action-filled fight, however long it lasts. But the point that I do agree with you on is I do, you know, even though Triple G has not looked like himself the last couple of fights, I do think that given this opportunity, he will bring his A game, and that's going to make this even more of a compelling fight when it does happen.
So, do you think that Canelo is taking more of the, to raise a point earlier, since, you know, you said Triple G hasn't looked the best? Do you think Canelo's taking more of the risk in this fight? Since where he is in the boxing game, people pay to see Canelo nowadays.
No, because Canelo, look, Oscar De La Hoya proved to everyone, you know, let me start. You know, the idea that fighters can never lose, there are only a handful of fighters who are that special who never lose a fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is skill, part of it is business acumen, you know, and that's what Floyd Mayweather showed us. You know, not to say that Floyd Mayweather ducked anyone, but he fought all the fighters of his generation. He just picked and chose at what time he chose to fight them, right? Canelo is a guy who is by far the biggest name in boxing. So no matter if Canelo loses this fight, there'll still be another major marquee fight to be made because it's Canelo Alvarez, because he's the biggest name in boxing. You know, there'll always be those opportunities for him to, you know, and he's really shown that he has no problems with jumping up a few weight classes to make the best fight that fans want to see. And that's part of the allure of Canelo Alvarez. So even if he does lose this fight, who's not to say there isn't, you know, a fourth fight? We saw four fights with Pacquiao and Marquez.
True.
Why can't there be four fights between Canelo and Triple G?
So what, I guess in terms
now, even though I'm just a casual boxing fan, oh, my bad.
No, go right, you good.
So as opposed to being a diehard boxing fan, I still, you know, I guess I can say that maybe if you fight a Steve Rose or if you fight less of competition, maybe you do fight, you know, or you play down your you fight, I guess, based on your competition. I'm not saying it right. Yeah, I know what I'm trying to say, though.
I know what you're saying.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's just like you play, like, to your level of competition. Yeah. So I expect him to raise his game, but on the other aspect, or the other side of me being sort of casual boxing, I want to see different fights. I mean, like you said, Canelo Alvarez he is a headliner, so why not fight like a Jermall Charlo or somebody that, you know, is hungry and really is going to also bring their A game when they know they're fighting the best because they want to be the best. I don't understand, you know, just a trilogy years after the last fight when, again, it seems as though one of the fighters is on his way out. So I just feel like he could fight maybe younger competition. It's bigger than just, I just threw Charlo out there. Not everybody wants to see that fight. But there are some names that people would like to see Canelo fight, and it should happen. But, you know, the politics of boxing, you don't have to be even a casual fan to know about how that goes. So it is what it is, man.
So which trilogy would you all want to see more?
No,
go ahead, Will. Sorry, my bad.
No, you brought up a good point, Ray. But the reality is, what are the names that people will pay, $70-$80 for Canelo to fight, right? You know, now there's Jermall Charlo, you know, there's the Charlo brothers, but they haven't, you know, they're their star power isn't to that point yet where they won huge fights and developed a term you like to, that you coined, Ray, a cult like following, right? So who else is out there for them? You know, that the only big name that's out there for them to face would be, you know, Triple G. If you ask me, like at this moment, you know, there aren't any other names at 175, 158, or 160 for Canelo to fight. But Callum Smith doesn't have a, you know, no one's really knocking down the doors and saying, hey, Callum Smith's the next star in boxing, right? Or the next big name in boxing. You know, Triple G, you know, for the contract that DAZN provided him, you know, he needs a guy who has that name on the other end that could, you know, bolster that on his own to help promote the fight. Just off of his name, and Triple G is that guy.
So, in terms of trilogy, before we leave this show and we head out, which fight would you want to see more, Fury Wilder or Triple G Canelo? Which one excites you more?
Go ahead, Ray. Which one excites me more at this point?
Yeah.
Triple G and Canelo, just based off of the results of the last fight. You know, that fight was far more closer than, you know, Wilder and Tyson Fury. I'm interested to see how Deontay Wilder bounces back, you know, from knockout, but, you know, just based off of their last performance, Triple G and Canelo fight excites me more. Gets me more excited.
Ray?
No. If you were asking me to put down money to purchase either fight at this point right now today, I would say I'm more likely to put my money on, you know, to spend money to watch the Triple G Canelo fight.
Oh, I agree. They're all a bit more competitive, right? If you look at it in terms of, like, even the overall scope of their fights, you know what I'm saying? One people, you know, some people thought Triple G pretty much won. And even, you know, fight two was competitive. If you look at, you know, Wilder, arguably, you could say Fury won both fights. So in the scope of things, you can say that, you know, fight three, we're going to see a competitive fight in fight three, if we're going off track records.
Well, if you look back in time and you think about some classic trilogies, I mean, you can go, you know, far back as Muhammad Ali and
Frazier.
And
Frazier?
Yeah, Ali Frazier, right, my bad. Yeah. I was getting mixed up for a minute. also obviously Marquez and help me out, come on, man.
Not Pacquiao.
Marquez and who? Was it Pacquiao?
Marquez, Pacquiao.
They did four
fights,
right?
They did four?
I believe they did.
Yeah, they fought four times.
Four times.
Oh, dang. All right, even better. But if you had... The point I'm trying to make, I know I'm drawing blanks, but the point I'm trying to make is, if you had to say which one is going to be the more classic trilogy, of course you got to go with Triple G Canelo, because Deontay Wilder, that second fight was so one-sided that... You know, the interest to me fell off. Now, there are your boxing pundits out there that's going to say there's no bigger division than boxing in the heavyweight division. So you want to see Tyson Fury. But no matter if it's Mexican Independence Day or if it's Cinco de Mayo, you want to see Canelo Alvarez fight. There's no bigger star right now than him. So I'm going to go with Triple G and Canelo, obviously. However, I could live without it.
Hey folks, this has been a great social distance show. We went overtime, 7 minutes over. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Hey Will T, anything you want to say for the people? I know I kind of put you on the spot.
nah, it's you know, this isn't the ideal way for us to do our show, but, you know, we got it done. I appreciate everyone's patience if you were listening to us. I appreciate Ray jumping back in there, even though, you know, we got kicked off.
Hey, Ray, you got a counter?
You know, it's been real. I appreciate, you know, it's cool.
Hey, Will, are you wearing a white tee? I can just envision you in a white t-shirt right now. Is that what you got on?
Absolutely not, my friend. Absolutely not.
Hey, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
Thank you.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, man, lead us out, big homie. Yeah.